course. Interesting. Now, that was just before the end of the whole session. Now, what will happen? What's next now? I understand. Now, what does this do to the public opinion of Apple and Samsung? Because Webwereld, we have a very strong community of people around us. What are the reactions over there? And this is for you right now the end of the story, because it's September 15th when the judge will decide. So and then basically, even without whatever happens, you're already hindering Samsung, because even if Apple loses, they still win, because probably Samsung will have to postpone the introduction of the Galaxy. Yeah, but that's in Finland, that's in Germany, and there's only so much you can do about it. In the Netherlands you can do things ex parte as well, but that's kind of harder. You really need to have a very good reason for that. For instance, if people know... Yeah, exactly. Hey Andreas, Udo de Haas, you are with Webwereld, a part of IDG. Thank you so much for answering all these questions. Okay. Have a wonderful evening. You are listening to Binary Voice 92.6 FM. My name is Brenno de Winter. You're in the second hour of the news roundup. And today is the day that David Cameron had to acknowledge in Parliament that the police got the riot wrong. The police admitted they got the riot tactics wrong. The Prime Minister acknowledged that. And he has announced measures to help homeowners and businesses to overcome their costs and making sure that they get paid. An hour earlier, it seemed that they had 1,000 arrests. Meanwhile, it is becoming apparent that they made 1,500 arrests. There are 16,000 cops in the streets of London trying to regain law and order. The era of the PC seems to be coming to a close, and they are going the same way as the typewriters. That, at least, is a claim that Dr. Mark Dean has made. And it all comes because of the tablets. Well, we heard all about that just an hour ago, or just a couple of minutes ago. And in Nigeria, drug trial victims, they get compensation for all the harm they got. They had been in a trial, and they got a trial against meningitis, and they got sick because of the medication. And in an out-of-court settlement, it now has decided to pay $175,000. Excuse my English on this one. And last but not least, the Dutch Socialist Party, PvdA, has decided that they demand an investigation into the privacy policy of LinkedIn. Of course, suggesting that they are in violation of the European regulations on privacy. Recently, LinkedIn changed their terms of service, making it possible for them to publish photos as advertisement, and it has started a huge outcry. So far, the roundup of the international news that has been ongoing, and after some music, we'll have another interview. and you're still listening to Binary Voice 92.6 FM. Good that you're all still listening. The chaos is a little bit over. In the studio is currently Dr. Wax. Over the last couple of years, and especially last year, we have seen a number of cases where documents were leaked. Whistleblowers came forward with their story and got caught. We've had a couple of cases of that in the Netherlands. And I thought it would be useful to have like a one-on-one. What can you do on privacy or on anonymity to make sure that data remains as closely guarded as possible? Well, Dr. Wax has been studying this issue for quite some time, and one of the things I guess is don't use your regular email. But what should I use then?
Okay, so there are a lot of programs out there which anonymize your traffic data. For instance, you could use Tor, you could use a VPN, or you could use a darknet like Freenet, GNUnet, or I2P. I saw a lot of whistleblower websites which use a store. WikiLeaks was the first one, and we have GlobalLeaks now too, which is a whistleblower
site
project from Italy. And it's really important for the whistleblowers itself to be anonymous. We got the data retention issue in a lot of European states and around the world. Mostly the governments are retaining the data for quite some months or years.
Yeah, if I may interrupt you there a second. Data retention, that doesn't only mean Breno has been calling to Dr. Wax, but it also means that if it's on my cell phone, they store the location, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that means that you can make a picture-perfect image of where somebody was and who they were with. And
yeah.
So basically leave your own cell phone at home.
Well, you could do that. But even then, you could use... Or you could pay for a prepaid phone with a prepaid SIM card, which you could pay in cash and only turn it on at like specific hours and not like in the area where you live. And if you travel a lot, I think that's a really good thing to do and throw it away a month later.
Yeah, exactly. I do the same when I have a journalistic project where I really need anonymity for a while.
Yeah.
In the Netherlands, I buy for 20 euros a little cell phone with a prepaid card.
Yeah.
And then after 3 days, I throw the phone away. And that's it. That's the end of it.
Yeah. And it works perfectly. However, like in some European countries, like France, you need to show your ID.
Yeah, same here in Germany, because I bought a prepaid card yesterday and they wanted to see my passport.
Really?
Yeah. And you can in some supermarkets buy it and then you have to register online.
Yeah.
And I know some of the people here at camp do that and then register to the Bundesnachrichtendienst. So the German secret service.
Yeah.
So if they, and then yes, send me all the advertisement you want to send me.
Winning.
Yeah.
I mean, these things, they wiretap you and all sort of stuff, and most of the time it's probably not all the time like lawful. So if you could play a bit with these kind of guys, go ahead, I think.
Yeah, but how can I fight against the wiretap? I'm the subject of a criminal case right now.
Yeah.
So whenever my lawyer calls me, she says like, and I'm your legal criminal representation.
Yeah.
And I'm based in Amsterdam, and that is the signal that they have to turn off the wiretap and they are not allowed to use it.
Yeah.
But in the first place, sometimes I want to make a phone call and I don't want to be called at all.
Yeah. Well, it's hard, you know, and even if they like do this kind of stuff,
Can I do something with my laptop here? I've got a Mac.
Yeah.
Is there something possible you can do in order to prevent them from listening into my conversation?
Sure. Like if you do like things with Skype or stuff with IM messaging like XMPP, you could use the off-the-record messaging plugin, which provides you with plausible deniability and perfect forward secrecy.
Yeah, so basically it encrypts everything between you and me.
Yeah.
We use it sometimes. If we use Jabber, and then indeed everything is encrypted.
Yeah.
But can't I just encrypt all my traffic, because I don't even want them to know that I'm surfing to a certain website? Is that possible?
Sure. You could use something like a VPN for that, which basically means that you send all your traffic to another server, and then it goes into the clear to the internet. So that means that all your traffic between you and the server is encrypted, and by very strong encryption cipher. So it's very hard for people to know what you are doing, and they can't listen into. So I think that's one of the best things to do and buy.
Yeah, and there are a couple of those services. iPredator, that one I use sometimes. Respect My Privacy.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of others that I use that I won't mention. But there are a whole bunch of them with, for instance, OpenVPN to use. What else? What are VPNs?
There are a lot of services, like Mulfet also in Sweden. I think Tor is a really good example.
For the ones that know, I'm sorry, but for the other ones, can you explain how Tor works? Because that's a little bit more than just a VPN.
Yeah, okay. So I hope I will explain this correctly. I'm not sure. So what it does is that it anonymizes your traffic, and it will hop to 3 different computers around the world which you don't know at all. It encrypts the traffic as well between you and the exit node, with a bunch of onion layers of encryption. So when it passes one of these nodes, one of the nodes will remove a layer of the encryption. And the same thing goes for...
Yeah, it peels it off like an onion, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is why it's called the onion router. So even if, like, for example, a VPN server is tapped by the government, you could use Tor, because there are loads of exit nodes out there, and it will hop to three different computers around the world. So let's say you are browsing in Berlin right now, or it will then go, for example, to a computer in Amsterdam, then to a computer in Paris, and then to Rome, and it will then go to an exit node where your traffic goes to the normal website you want to browse to. And if the authorities want to see, like, where did the whole traffic come from, they will need like a lot of logs and from all sort of other governments, and most of the time they won't do that at all. So I recommend Tor for stuff like that.
Yeah, and then we mentioned both, because ultimately Tor might be failing as well. You never know that.
Yeah, sure.
If I really want to be anonymous, what I do is I start my VPN connection and then I start Tor over that.
Yeah.
And don't forget to keep pressing on the button and refresh my identity once in a while.
Yeah. I approve. Yeah, that's very good.
Of course, don't use your regular email address. If I want to have an anonymous email address, where should I go?
There are a lot of activist groups out there. You have RiseUp.net, for example, which is based in Seattle, America. which has an established lawyer in the office. They host all kinds of leftist and anarchist sites, and also lists and email addresses. So even if you are not like, if you want to do like a campaign, like something for the Bradley Manning Network, you could request a list or an email address, and if you give a good reason, they most of the time will just give you an email address. But at the moment, we don't have something like that big in the places where we live, and I think it would be a really good idea. So if you are listening, listen carefully. In Iceland, IMI is like probably gets all the laws done within 1 year, and I think it would be a very interesting thing if we get like a RiseUp.net clone in that country, in Iceland, so we could give out anonymous email addresses in Iceland for all sort of
And that's definitely not to commit crimes, but that's definitely needed, for instance, for the people in all the countries in the Middle East that are currently experiencing the spring and the things that are happening there. And the difference there between being anonymous or making a mistake there is that you get killed. And
that's a thing. We can't really protect them at the moment, because the activists think like, well, Gmail will protect us, and Hotmail will protect us. But most of the cases we saw already, that's totally not the case. So we need to do something like to help them.
And maybe I can make a closing remark on the issue. Whatever you do, and try to be anonymous, try to think of ways that this could be undermined. So try hacking yourself before using it, especially if it's really important.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Wex, thank you so much for explaining all this and making
the time.
Thanks
for having me.
And it is time for a little bit of music and then some more interesting stuff from Chantal Klaver. And you're back with Binary Force 92.6 FM. In the studio currently, Chantal Klaver.
Hi, Bruno.
Hey, and you've been playing with technology.
Yeah, it's been my first play. But it was really cool. I've been with Mitch Altman.
Yes, he was in the studio yesterday.
Yeah, and today I made it work, actually.
Yeah, because you bought an Arduino kit.
Yeah, actually the Borduino kit, which is a bit easier than the Arduino. And it's attached to a board, and you can do all sorts of things with it.
Yeah, so I see a green thingy, and it has a processor on it. It has a button on it and a couple of other things.
Yeah.
And what is it?
What is it? Well, it's actually a device. You can program it to do what you want it to do. And a few programs are already with software. You got software with it.
Yeah.
And for example, you can switch the light on and off for as long as you want, the red light. And that sounds really simple, but you can also plug other devices to the red light. So for example, some music or some robotica, and then you can make the robotica move for 1 second or however you program it.
And was it hard? Because the promise was very easy to do, and even I could do it.
Yeah, well, even I could do it. I did make a few mistakes, but I could repair them. Because sometimes, yeah, I'm lazy, and then I think, well, I don't need to do that if it's in the instructions. But I really needed to do it. Because, for example, first you put together a piece of electronical device.
Yeah.
And it's separated from the board. But the last piece, they say you should build it in the board, and I didn't do that, so it didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to bow the pins make them fit for the board after all.
Ooh, that's scary, because I'm always afraid that they will break off and then 100 euros is down the tube.
It was 30 euros. So, it wasn't even that hard to make it a bit better. And it actually worked, because Mitch tried mine in the tryout right now. And he's showing right now how TV can be gone. But because your show lasts till 6,
you had to come over indeed, and I'm very happy that you did. It's a cool board. It's 30 euros. You can learn it yourself. Maybe I want to learn it.
Yeah, I think you should. It's really funny. You do need something extra to connect it to your computer, because otherwise you cannot program it.
Yes.
So you do need to have something to connect it to a USB port.
So then you spend a little bit more.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, but it's very accessible to play and start to learn about hardware.
Yeah, I don't also to start programming, because I think this is the kind of programming I could possibly do.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, in the studio we've got a set of lights, red, orange, green, and blue.
Yeah.
And those lights are also working. And Xopper, who is doing the technical stuff here, was blinking them. And basically, it works very simple. Anybody could make it, even I could. So that's kind of cool. If you're still at camp, go to the hardware hacking place. When is the next course?
For newbies, it will be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Starting at 2 again. Make sure you're early, because it's very busy.
Yes.
And buy your Borduino set in advance. Borduino set. And... well, then you can just play along.
Okay, guys, have fun with it. We are definitely going to the hardware tent right after the show. Right now, indeed, some music, and if everything goes right, a very special guest. and we're back at 92.6 FM. This is Binary Voice, the radio station for CC Camp. And in the studio right now, Psychic. And Psychic, you fixed the whole setup in no time.
Yay, we fixed it, we did it.
Yeah, why does it take so long? I mean, it's not a complaint, but we have a big setup here. What do we have here?
I think we have like 12 microphones, basically hooked up to tables with some awesome stands we got from the IKEA, actually, which are boom stands, which you see in a professional radio station as well, so we don't have any nasty of those telescope mic things anymore with bases on the ground. Everything is hooked up to the table and you can move them around, and it's really nice to have them. We also have microphone also has a headphone now, which is volume controllable, so everyone can tune in their own headphones to their own volume.
Yeah.
So that's 12 microphones. We have two wireless microphones for people running around near the studio to interview them. We have a DECT reporter kit, I think two even, so we can call people on or send a reporter out into the field, anywhere we have DECT coverage, we can make report there. So that's the mic and audio stuff. Then everything goes into a huge mixer, pure solely for microphones, and that's been set up so there's coming good sound from there, so it has some gates, etc., so it keeps all the awful noise out and compression, so you sound like a real radio studio. Everything on that mixer goes to our main mixer, because we have now two mixers, and that combines the microphones as well as the music and the laptops and the Skype and etc. So we have a DJ machine connected, dual screen, with loads of audio and capability to browse and to play music from the internet and to search up stuff, etc. And of course we have a VoIP Skype machine to make outgoing calls on both VoIP as Skype. And then everything goes into the main mixer, and it's routed through some compressors, equalizers, to make all the volumes and levels go within reasonable volumes and to make sure that we don't screw up things. And of course then we go out to the transmitter, which is enough. I can't actually say how much it is because it's just enough. And as well as a stream, which you can hear on the internet. And
this is an important announcement. We are sticking to all the rules, of course.
Yes, we are sticking to all the rules. So, that stream goes to, we go on of course, on the FM. We have a mainstream, which is being recorded. We're also recording a podcast, so only the microphones, not the music. So we can put it online later. Because we can't put the streams online because of the licensing issues, of course. We need to pay to play commercially music, and it was really hard to filter out those music with the vocal, so we did a separate record for that. And we are also connected to the DECT network, so people can listen us on 1926 on the camp, and basically everywhere we had DECT coverage where you can listen to the radio stream.
1926 indeed.
So that's basically the setup in a nutshell, and it took 2 days to set it up.
Yeah. Hey, I get one question through the interwebs. What kind of mixers do we have here?
We have a digital Behringer mixer, DDX3216, which is a fully digitalized mixer with awesome capabilities with compression, gating, EQing, routing, etc. And unfortunately, they no longer make them because they are... due to licensing issues, they're no longer made, but that's a real shame because they're really, really great.
It's a patent story again, right?
Yeah, it's patents. They stole... actually, Behringer has copied the design and the chips as well from Yamaha, and they had to stop making them, and it's really hard to get spare parts for them. You really need some special service guy to fix mixers, and trust me, I've already had a single fix, and it costs a lot. You spent almost the same amount on the mixer as well as on the repairs, but then again, it's a very decent mixer. So that's purely for microphones and wireless microphones. Our main mixer is also a Behringer, which is a X2442, I think,
Yeah, that's my mixer actually.
That's your mixer actually, which you use in the Hack 42 studio.
Yep.
And basically it's the biggest of the smallest. And I've selected this one with Brenno because of the many routing capabilities it has for aux sends, FX sends, and loads of subgroups we are using. And basically we're using all both mixers to the max at the moment. So and beyond that we have some Behringer and Alesis compressions and equalizers to make the sound really really pro, and I think we're doing a great job because I've heard the FM stream and heard the actual online stream, and you really can't tell the difference between a amateur radio station and for example Radio 3 even. I mean that's the quality we're producing right now, so I'm really glad. And yesterday I got a comment, I'm sorry I keep talking, yesterday I got a comment from Off the Hook that our audio setup was higher quality than they had with Colors. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So we are doing. I think that's a crown on our work that we have such a decent setup.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And it sometimes is a hassle then if somebody put their fingers on something and changed it. But we got it back to work. And one of the cool things was I got a lot of complaints on the stream as well today. But you seem to have been working on that as well. And it is very stable. I get reports now from the Netherlands.
We had this morning we had loads of issues with power. Actually, the past 2 days we had issues with power. And finally, these issues seem to be resolved, and I really have to knock on wood to make it. We are now 6 hours live, so and the stream also has been down because of network issues and servers not really liking the fact that they have been shut down by power a few times. So we actually had one of two discs failing. But actually, everything is in RAID, so we are now back on the streams on xanum.de and on the ETV stream as well. Also, Signal, I think, GMC has tagged along.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. So our main stream is now Xanum.
Okay. Thank you, Psychic, so much for explaining all this. And we are going to listen to some music, and then I've got a very important announcement to make. And you're still listening to 92.6 FM. This is still Binary Voice, also available on your deck or through stream. Welcome that you're listening. Thank you for listening. You have been hearing the news roundup for today. It was a little bit more chaotic than planned. But the main points are still that the judge in the Netherlands won't rule on the Apple patent until September 15th. And then it will be obvious whether or not it is possible to have the Galaxy Tab introduced in the Netherlands. All the excitement makes it, of course, the most wanted and coolest device that you can imagine. And for tomorrow, we have actually kind of a full show, and there will be a lot of attention to Anonymous. I have somebody in the studio, if everything goes okay, that can explain what Anonymous is, or how they do their thing, that's basically the inside story. we have a district attorney or a public prosecutor from the Netherlands who will explain why they are being prosecuted, what the type of charges are that you can face, that type of stuff. We are most likely going to talk to Birgitta Jons-Dottir. So we will have a very interesting show, and I would really like to invite you to listen. And as every day, I started to do that yesterday. I still am self the suspect in a criminal case, facing probably 6 years in prison for showing that the Dutch have spent $3 billion in vain on a card system that is highly insecure. And of as an act of resistance, I end the show always with "Don't fence me in." This was the News Hour. My name is Brenno de Winter. Thank you for listening. And this ends 92.6 FM, the News Hour. My name is Brenno de Winter. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll catch you tomorrow. It's again between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. Thank you.